Sorana. Okay, so who is volunteer to just so please update me regarding his activities? As you remember in the previous session, Assalamu alaikum, we discussed about the evolution of the political jurisprudence, particularly in Shia, among Shia scholars. In this session, we're gonna discuss, we're to discuss on methods of studying political jurisprudence. So today the methods, after being familiar with the evolution of or historical background of Shiite political jurisprudence, in this session we are to be familiar with the methods. So the main discussion today is methodology. And you know that, what is the difference between method and methodology? Do you know the difference between method and methodology?
Method is very applicable, but the methodology is the approach and the program, how you should...
I think very easy.
Studying.
When you say method and method...
So studying about methods.
Very perfect. Well done. So methodology is a science. It studies on the methods. So today we do study on methods. So our mission today is a kind of methodology. Methodology is a science. So some people say that methodology های بررسی, it is not correct. Methods of methodology is not a way, is not a path, is not something to be studied on. In fact, it is a science. It studies about methods. So today our mission is a kind of methodology to be familiar with the methods of juridical, political jurisprudence studies. So let's refer back, Assalamu alaikum, to the previous session very shortly to be familiar with the methods. Alaikum salam. Okay, you can make it open. Let me remind again to you, dear brothers, because the rest of the students are in class. As I said, there is a website, ijtihad.net, I think, or .com. They asked me to upload the audio file of the website, audio file of the class at the website. And also they asked one of the candidates, PhD candidates in class, just to write a gist of the class, and they will upload it by his name, and they will pay maybe something. And also we will give good rewards and good score at the end of the semester for the one who did so. So the one who is volunteer to sacrifice himself, please update me.
So should you record your class right now?
I do record. Just he can write down the gist of, to summarize the points mentioned in class.
Weekly base or?
Weekly. Weekly.
Weekly.
Okay, So today we're going to discuss on the methods of the political jurisprudence. When we say methods of the political jurisprudence, let's refer to this time, 10th after Hijra, and after Hijra. You remember what happened at this time. We said that at this time, Sunni, according to Sunni, it is the end of the life of the Prophet. So, according to them, it is a kind of insidad Baba Ilm, the gate of revelation, receiving revelation has been closed. So it is the time to refer back to the humanity. And we said that by Shia, this insidad Baba Ilm, has been acquired somehow 2 centuries later. At this time, they believe that now it is to them to reflect and to refer to themselves, to reflect by themselves and refer to their own mind and their own activities. So, what happened after the demise of the Prophet? Somehow it took place to the Shia by this time. Let's study what happened at this time, and then we will be familiar with the method of ijtihad, method of political jurisprudence. According to yes, according to Sunnis, they believe that by the demise of the Prophet, the revelation has been ended. End of revelation. And you know that among Shia it is somehow different. And last session, I think we discussed about. Because they think that it is end of the revelation. So, to them, it is the time to find a suitable successor and representative and source to this. What kind of source can be a good representative and successor to this idea? The idea of evolution of Ummah. According to Sunnis, after the demise of the Prophet, we see evolution of Ummah. Takamul Aghli Ummat. Iqbal Lahori clarifies this idea when he discusses the concept of Khatm Nubuwwat. According to Iqbal Lahori, Khatm Nubuwwat, it doesn't mean that the revelation was everlasting. It means that it is end of the revelation. Now it is time to human being to refer to themselves, to reflect by themselves. So according to Iqbal Lahori, Khatm Nubuwwah means that the time of receiving guidance from the heaven is done. Now it is the time for the human being to find their way of life by themselves. It seems that the idea of Iqbal Lahori in his theology refers back to the Sunni's idea when he discusses about the end of the life of the Prophet. when they say that by 10th of Hijra, it is the end of revelation, then they believe that it is evolution of Ummah. And you know that, what they say about this. They believe that, لَا تَجْتَمُوا أُمَّتِي عَلَى خَتَئٍ. When they say so, my Ummah won't be come together on error, it means that the Ummah have evolved their ideas, their reflections in a way that they can find the way by themselves in the cases that they are in need. For example, if there is a case we need a way, we don't have any source from the revelation. According to the Sunnis, they can refer to the Ummah to find the way. So, according to them, so it is a theory. It is a theory, and when it comes to this, they apply that theory by the evolution of Ummah. And the second is that justice of companions. They believe to the justice of companions. According to them, because they have no source to refer to, by the end of the revelation, they believe that whoever met the Prophet, he is just. This is this theory, this is the application. These are the applications. When we come to Shia, it is a bit different. Application theories. It is different. To Shia, end of the revelation doesn't mean that the Ummah is evolved. To Shia, end of the life of the Prophet, end of revelation means continuous of Nas. Shia, it doesn't mean that the Nas has been done, so there is no continuous to Nas. Maybe it is end of the revelation. Why? But it is not end of the Nas. That's why Shia believe, based on this idea, Shia believe to the idea of Nas instead of the idea of Adalat al-Sahaba. So please remain in this topic. We will come to the to this. You know that in Persian sometimes we say that Makateb Ferhi, and in some cases we say Jarayan Shinasi, Jarayan Hoy Ferhi. And in some cases, we say ravish-hay fiqhi, ravish-shinasi. Let's be familiar with this term. Sometimes we do use these terms without being familiar with the precisized concept of these terms. When you say the maktab or the ravish or jarayan or nazariyaha, all these terms have their own meaning. When you say the methods,
do you call Tijariyan in English?
Current.
Movements. And to Maktab?
Schools are taught.
Shall we call it approaches? Yes. And in Arabic, also we have this kind of misusing the terms in Arabic. At-tiyarat, ravish, manhaj, manahij ilmiya, madaris, girayish, al-ittijahat. So when you Google these terms, you will find very different sources about anything. For example, al-ittijahat al-aqliya, al-makatib al-aqliya, al-manahij al-aqliya, al-tayyarat al-aqliya. You will find different ideas. So when we say that today we're going to discuss about the methods of political jurisprudence, or we do methodology, are we going to discuss about the schools talk about the political jurisprudence, or we are to discuss about the methods of political jurisprudence, or none of the both, but to discuss about the approaches talk about the political jurisprudence. What is the difference among these terms? I don't like to talk about this and this, because these two are very connected. I elaborate a bit about these two concepts. These two concepts are very, very connected to each other, but a bit different. For example, Allama Tabatabai, in his method of interpreting the Quran, he interpreted Quran by Quran through Quran. Yes? And for example, the Tafsir al-Thaghalayn, the author interpreted Quran through Hadith. Is it the method of Allama Tabatabai? Is it the method of the author, or it is the maktab of Allama Tabatabai?
Method.
It seems that it is the method of the authors. So, if it is the method, so the maktab of them would be this. Allama Tabatabai believed that Quran is nur. Quran is mubayyinun li nafsihi wa mubayyinun li ghayrihi. If it is able to clarify itself and elaborate the truth of the others, so because he believed that Quran is mubayyin li nafsihi wa ghayrihi, then when he comes to apply this theory, he says that I should interpret the Quran by Quran. But when it comes to the author of the Saghalayn, he says that Prophet said that "Inni tarikum fikum al-thaghalayn," because this thaghalayns won't be divided, so I should interpret Quran by Hadith. You see,
There is a theory in their mind. When they apply it, they apply that theory in their research. So, the method is the application of the school of thought. But the school of thought is the theories and the basis of the method. Okay? So, we can find some people, they have some theories, but when they apply
they apply
the different methods. For example, he believed that we should interpret, he believed that Quran would not be divided from the hadiths. But when he comes to apply it, they only refer to Quran. Yes? In this case, we say that this person has not manzumi fikri. Okay? In hermeneutic, when we say that a person has a system of theory, a system of thought, we should say that is his theories going to be applied in his works? For example, Imam Khomeini believes that Satan in Quran is not only a person who is, for example, an evil man we imagine. According to him, Satan is a person we can find in our daily life. When he believes theoretically so, he should apply this theory in his daily life, saying that the US is the Satan. But a person who thinks in different way, he should apply it in different way. So by the way, to summarize the idea, we should say that the school of thought is the theories and the basics of an author who is going to apply a method in his works. And the methods are the applicants or applying that kind of theories in the work. So, do we have makatebe فقه سیاسی or روش های فقه سیاسی, do we have methods of political jurisprudence or school of political jurisprudence? We can say the both, because a person who has a method, he should have some theories, and the person who has some theories, he should apply it in his works or in his society. So, by the way, we can say that the school of Ahlus Sunnah is this. The school of thought among Ahlus Sunnah is end of revelation. So, when we say please clarify the Maktab Fiqhi Ahl Sunnat, you are not allowed, if you are a very precise person, you are not allowed to say so. You should only clarify this concept, because the question is asking about Maktab, the school. But when you come to this idea, the question is asking you, please clarify the methods of political jurisprudence among the Sunnis. You can come to these topics and you can say that the methods are these. Also among Shias, the school of thought regarding political jurisprudence among Shia is the idea of end of revelation. But the methods are so. Let's say another theories. Just I wanted to clarify these two concepts. Another school of thought regarding political jurisprudence among Sunnis is that they believe to the idea of Jabr. What we call to English to Jabr?
Coercion. coercion?
Predestination.
Predestination is تقدیر گرایی.
Compulsion?
No, no, no. It has a special term. جبر گرایی. Would you Google it?
Determination.
Would you Google it now? One of you, please. So they believe to this concept. Let's use predestination.
Determinism.
What?
Determinism.
Yeah, determinism. Okay.
Determinism.
You said
yes.
Determinism.
Determinism.
Oh. They believe to this concept. When it comes to this concept, so it is the school of thought. What is their method in political jurisprudence? They believe to the unjust ruler. You know that according to Sunnis, even if the Yazid is a ruler, you are not allowed to oppose him, because he is the Waliyul Amr. And there is a saying by late Hashemi Rafsanjani. Once I heard from one of his close friends, and that time he was the deputy of foreign minister in Iran. he said that I was with Aga Hashemi Rafsanjani departing to Saudi Arabia. And Fahad, he himself narrated this story to Hashemi Rafsanjani. What we are talking about, we are saying that according to Sunnis, even the unjust ruler, you are not allowed to oppose him. That's why they call Imam Hussein Khariji. When they call him Khariji, because they can't accept a person, even you are the son of the Prophet. When a person is appointed, it means it is predestinated to be a ruler. You are not allowed to oppose him. And what he says, he is able even to change the religion, because he is appointed by Allah to be on that position. Well, at the event of Minat 3 years ago, you know that we Iranian, we made many many attempt to say that Saudi Arabia had some shortcoming regarding their mission to protect the Hajjis from to enter to that blasphemy. Blasphemy means fajr. But most of the Sunnis, even in this year I was in Hajj, they were saying that, why you Iranian, you were making some noise. When Allah said, when they are died, it is their destiny. You are not allowed to change it. Look, this idea not only is, let me say this story of Aga Hashemi Rafsanjani at the end of the class. Because they have this thought, even the Fahad, what he says, they should follow it. Even nowadays, when Muhammad Salman say that the women are allowed to drive, to bike, for the Saudi jurist, it is not a problem. They can justify it. Please remind in your mind, they can justify it. They can say that he is the Wali Ghulam, he is the ruler, he can do so. I will come to this term. So, when we are asked what is the school of thought, the paradigms of school of thought among the Sunni political jurists, one of them is determination. So when they apply it in their method, is they believe that to unjust ruler. The second,
the third, so the third is that they believe that when the gate of revelation is closed, when the gate of the revelation is closed, so we get two from this. One, two. And from this, from determination, the method of unjust ruler. And from the end of the revelation, they get another thing. And it is that when the gate of revelation is closed, so we, the human being, we have no way to gain the knowledge. And the Ummah won't be able to come together on an error, on an error. So, what the Ummah are going to decide, that decision would be a pure decision. Because the minds of Ummah, the reasons of Ummah have been evoluted. So, they believe to the idea of Tasweeb. They believe that when a Mufti, when Ummah decides so, their decision is as same as Allah predecided. Also, some believe in a very radical way, in a very extremist way. You know that. They believe that when Ummah decides so, even if the predestination of the Lord was different, he should change his decision in accordance to the decision of the Ummah. So, yeah. You see, two approach. One say that when people decide, their decision is in accordance, it is the idea of kashf. When people decide, their decision reveals, discover the very true decision of the Lord. Yes? But some people say that even if they can't discover the very fact and decision of the Lord, it is the duty of the Lord to change his decision in accordance to what Ummah decided on. So, by the way, they believe to the idea of Tasweeb. I don't know how to translate it to English. I think no need to translate, because these are the very specific terms, we should use it in English. But when it comes to Shia, just only I am reporting, I'm not evaluating the ideas. It is you to evaluate which idea is true or not. But when it comes to Shia, they believe to free will. Yeah, but you know that in comparison to Sunnis, we believe to free will in general. It doesn't mean that we believe we are like Mufawwada. When we say we Shia believe, we are not allowed to say we believe. When Shia believe to free will, it means that in comparison to Sunnis. Because they believe to free will, so they won't believe to tasbih. They believe to takhtar. But by takhtar, Shia believe that when a jurist issues a fatwa, if it is in accordance to the fact, he will gain two reward. But when it is vice versa to the fact, he will gain one reward only for the sake of his attempt. Yes?
No.
Only for the sake of his attempt. Because he tried, he did more to gain the truth, but he couldn't. Because of his jihad ilmi, because of his attempt, he will gain some one reward. It is the idea of Shia. You see, it is the theory, it is the method. So, what is the method of Sunnis in political jurisprudence? First, evolution of Ummah. Two, Tasweeb. Second, justice of the companions. And the fourth, unjust, the concept of unjust ruler. What is the method of political jurisprudence among Shia? Continuous of Nas. So they rely on Nas. In your method, you should gain the knowledge from the Nas. But among Shia, you can rely on Quran, the narrations of Prophet, and Amale, for example, what he says, the Maliki? Amale Ahle Madinah. The term. Madinah is nation action. According to him, even not only the Sahaba, the companions, but also the Tabi'ins, the followers, and Tabi'in. Because when they say Amal Ahl Madina, or when you use the term Ashab Sadr Islam, they use this term. Ashab Sadr Islam, when they use Ashab Sadr Islam, they believe by that three nations. Companions, followers, and the followers of the followers. So because they were in need of the source, and their source has been ended by the 10th of Hijrah, they were in need of the source. So they sought in other sources. One of the sources was, for example, the Amal Ahl Madinah. And the second, they said that what the jurists say, it should be the truth. So they come to idea of Tasweeb. Then the idea of justice of the companions, you know that why they believed so? Why did they believe so? Because if they were not believing to the justice of the companions, how they could be able to convince the nation in a way that they accept the companions' idea as an Islamic idea. They should say that when the companions are saying so, they are just. So you should accept them. But if they were believing that he is not a just person, so the nation won't accept his their sayings. And the last is that they believe to unjust ruler or tyrannic ruler. Let's say in this way, Ja'el. In a way that because he is predestinated and appointed by the Lord. But when we come to Shia, by the end of the revelation, they believe that the Nas still is continuing.
And the heaven is reachable through the 14th infallible. They believe to free will. So they believe that the jurists are not infallible in a way that to be musabbaba, but they are persons. They can make some problems too, some mistakes too. Okay. Okay, go on.
When you say that this is a companions, the school of thought behind this approach is the end of revelation, or is it the hadith from the Prophet which says Ashabi kan nujum?
Look, all that narrations support this idea. When they say, for example, look to the history. The first caliph was called. He was calling even himself. You can find this term in the Sunni sources. It is one of the very important question in political jurisprudence regarding to the Sunni's idea. He was calling himself, I am the representative of the Prophet. Please, one of you, write a letter about this topic. He was calling himself, I am the successor of the Prophet. The second, he was saying that I am the successor of the Prophet. But when we come to the third, you see, when they see that the situation is going somehow to be accepted by everyone, the first one, maybe there were some opposed. How you can be the successor? Ali is appointed by Prophet, and so kind of discussions. Yes, but after him, the second is going to be accepted. Everyone is silent. Even Ali is in his home doing his own issue. So, in this case, the third claimed that I am the successor of Allah. Really, it is. Please look up in Sunni sources and go beyond the text. Find the text and beyond the text. Why this person was calling himself so? When they have such a hadith, Ashabi kan nujum ba'ayyihim ihtadaytum, such proofs support this idea. So he said that أنا خليفة الله. I am writing a paper. Why? I'm analyzing the tragedy of Ashura from this perspective. Why the Kufis, why the Muslims, let's say, were killing Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and they were listening and hearing and understanding that Muhammad Hussein is the son of the Prophet. And in Farsi we say Kakishunam Demigazit. They didn't feel anything regarding to this issue. Hussein was calling himself an Abnu Muhammad. Sorry. And Abnu Rasulullah. And look, you can't find in our sources Imam Hussein was calling himself, I am the son of the Muhammad. He was only calling himself, I am the son of Rasulullah. A person, his name was Muhammad, and his father's name was Abdullah. Before his 14th, he was only the son of Abdullah.
And his name was Muhammad.
The only title he gained from the society was that Amin. Yes? But when he reaches to the 40th, the society is going to call him Rasulullah. So Rasulullah is not a personal title. It is a legal title. Let me say in Persian. This man, I'm not talking from Shia point of view. I'm just analyzing as non-Muslim. This person after 40th, he gained a legal position. Before that, he had a personal position. Yes? Every person has two aspects and position. One is his personal position, and the second is his legal position. Yes? At the time of the Prophet, we listen, if we study from this perspective, we see that some, when Prophet was talking about, look, please look to this event from this perspective. When Prophet was saying something, some companions, please look, who? Some companions were coming to the Prophet and saying that, oh, Rasulullah, is it from you or it is from the Lord? And when Prophet was saying that it is from the Lord, they were very obedient. But when Prophet was saying that, for example, it is from me, you can't find Prophet saying that it is from me. Still, I couldn't find. I'm looking to find something. Maybe they were saying that, oh Prophet, can we propose our ideas? So, to some of the companions of the Prophet, Prophet had two aspects. When he was talking from this aspect, from his religious aspect, being Rasul of Allah, they were very obedient and they were accepting. But when he was talking from this perspective, they were saying that, okay, you are a person like us. You have your own idea. We can propose ours. That's why after the Prophet, these two persons, they were not able to say that we are the successor of Allah. They were saying that we are successor of the Prophet. Yes? But when it comes to the third, he says that what is the difference between me, person, and the person, Muhammad? We are the same. From this aspect, personality aspect, we are the same. The only difference is that he was appointed by Allah. I can be appointed by Allah too. I'm the messenger of Allah. Because he was able to change some rules, I am able to do so. Because the previous person has made so. That's why they secularized Taqaddus Sudai from the Prophet. When we see that, for example, after the Prophet, even the Ahlul Bayt, Imam Hassan is saying that I'm the son of the Prophet. Kekishun nemigaze. Because, okay, you are the son of the Prophet. So what? When they curse the Ali, they don't feel anything. Even when they behead the Imam Hussein, they don't feel anything. Because they secularized the Prophet. So, that's why on the day of Ashura, it is important. Imam Hussein was calling himself, I'm not the son of Muhammad, only to say that he was like me. He passed away and done. I'm son of the Rasulullah. That's why you see that the Wahhabis believe that when Prophet was kissing the Imam Hussein, yes, it is true. But it is a personal issue. Every grandpa is going to kiss his grandson. It is a personal issue. It is not from the Wahyun Yuha. That's why Imam Hussein alayhi salam tries to show that if I am Hussein, I'm not only the grandson of the Muhammad, but also I am the person affiliated to the Rasulullah. From this perspective, what is the conclusion? The conclusion is that you see that before Ashura, after Ashura. Before Ashura, Ahlul Bayt are secularized. I like this word. But after that, Ahlul Bayt are secularized. Sacred. You remember these two words in the first session. You see, every person is trying to affiliate himself to the Prophet. Banu Abbas, we are from Prophet. Even Imam Sajjad, people are referring to him. Zayd tries to get permission from Imam Sajjad. Even getting permission from Ahlul Bayt was a kind of certificate. Mukhtar tries to get a kind of certificate from Imam Sajjad. After that, even the Sunnis after Imam Sajjad, look, people are moving, are shifting toward Ahlul Bayt. So, and even the Sunnis are referring to Imam Baqir, then Imam Sadiq and so on. What happens to Imam Riza? It happens to Imam Riza. It shows one of the topic of my paper is that the social advantage of the revolution of Karbala, I believe that Imam Hussein banned secularization of the Prophet. Imam Hussein prevent the secularization of the Prophet and promoted the secularization of the family of the Prophet. This preventing and promoting, I think, is one of the very advantage of the revolution of the Karbala. So, regarding your question, when you say that they believe to the adala of Sahaba, such a support shows that how they believed in a way that not only to adala, but also to be in a position of the Rasulullah. We are approaching to the end of the class. Just to say that this difference between Shia and Sunni took place by the 10th of Hijrah by Sunnis and this time by Shia. But by this time, when we come to Shia, we see that somehow this tragedy, not a tragedy, but this event, maybe it is good. This event by the end of the life of the Prophet took place to the Sunnis. This event had taken place to the Sunnis is going to take place to the Shia. Shia are approaching to the era of major occultation. And now, they don't know what to do. Some say that if Imam is alive, and if we are able to connect to Imam, so there should be a person to mediate between us and him. So, According to them, the idea of lifehood of Imam, then the idea of connection to Imam and the third, they believe that so there should be a person to mediate us. And they believe to the idea of Bab. This idea, theory, this theory produced a method. This theory produced a method. What was the method? They believed that in the Al-Hawadis Al-Waqa, new events, we should only refer to the Nas collected from the 14th infallibles. Because we have very rare Nusus, in these cases we should only refer to them and we should accept as much as we can. That's why not only they accepted the Mutawatirat, but also they accepted the Khabar Wahid. They accepted Khabar Wahid in a very extremist way. Next session we will discuss about. And they said that we are not allowed to refer to ourselves. The Ummah mind, Shia mind, is not evoluted. We are not allowed to refer to the Ijma. We are not allowed to refer to the Aql. But some people, vice versa, they said that we can refer to the Aql. The reason is able. Please just glance to this event. They said that we can get something through our reason. When the revelation is ended, the occultation is started, so we can refer to reason. Some Orientalists, it is very critical issue. Some Orientalists are saying that what happened to Shia, it took place some years ago, just 2 centuries ago to the Sunnis.
Yes, it is a fact.
Is it true?
Yes.
Or saying that what had taken place to the Sunnis 2 centuries early, it was going to happen to the Shia exactly. And they are saying that, so if it is so, the Akhbaris are playing the role of Shia in this case, and the Usulis are playing the role of Sunnah. I think it is not the fair judge, but you can look. But some said that we can refer to our reason and so on. Next session we will evaluate that. When the Usulis said that, somehow next session I'm going to support the Akhbari approach. When the Usuli said that we have 4 sources of Ijtihad: Quran, Sunnah, Aql, Ijma. Really, they paid attention. Really, did they pay attention to Aql?
or factually, they were as same as Akhbari.
Recently, some are saying that, just to stick in your mind, some are saying that we have many usuli mujtahid, but many akhbari marja. Is it true?
Let's think about for next session. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.